Here's a message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, a most beautiful program. Really enjoyed it. Brought back many memories. Jazakallah one and all who contributed. Manana, enjoy your holidays and remember me in your du'as. Take care. I'm not sure whether you are a sister or a brother or whoever you are, inshallah. You said make du'a. I usually say same time, barakallahu fik, so that at least that responsibility is over. You don't have to carry it on your shoulder. If you say, yeah, inshallah, make du'a for you. Then if you forget, then you kind of put yourself in a predicament. Anyways, here's another message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum. I'm not a parent, but hopefully very soon, inshallah, after the nikah announcement that I sent you yesterday. Inshallah, as a future parent, I would like to desire to implement that which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated as a parent and a husband, etc., inshallah. Well, that's very pleasing to hear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you. Next up will be our Fitas Diaries. It's the final episode, so it's going to be a lengthy one. It's close to 20 minutes. I thought it was 13 to 40 minutes, and Tufail came to tell me quickly, Molala, it's about 20 minutes, yeah, and it's a fresh recording just coming to you live, inshallah. These CDs will be available on order. You have to place order because you've got a skeleton staff at the moment, so you'll just have to bear with us for a few days, inshallah. But what you can do is just phone in and place the order and tell them you want the Fitas Diaries, and inshallah you'll get the CD in a few days or a week or two, whatever it is. And inshallah we'll able to work during the holidays to get you that CD. Also, the mitz on nikah are also compiled on that CD. So there's two CDs that will be inshallah made available on order, inshallah, on request. The mitz on nikah and the second one is the Fitas Diary. Okay, again, an indication, we do have the final episode ready for you to listen.
Fitas, a journey through time. The removals begin. The fate of the people in the north that was from 22nd Street to 11th Street was influenced by the fact that they were owners of stands they lived on and owners of the shops they lived from. This significantly influenced their legal status in Pageview. Legally, what this meant was that they could not be moved out of their homes until suitable accommodation was provided and compensation for the expropriated property was paid, and until they were provided with alternate trading sites. Due to this, the majority of Pageview residents were able to stay till 1976, whilst others in Pageview and other parts of Johannesburg could not. The Oriental Plaza, a shopping complex, was established in 1974 in Fordsburg and was to provide Pageview shop owners with their alternate trading sites. This means that removals from Pageview were now imminent. Removals of the homes and shops carried on through 1974 till 1981. The coming of bulldozers, protests against the plaza, and the effects of the Group Areas Act and coming to Lanesia. This was the most devastating part of history of Pageview. It is experiences that remain embedded in people's minds and hearts forever. The White Elephant trods through 14th Street. The 1976 removals in the northern part of Pageview is to start from the eviction of shop owners. Plaza was dubbed a white elephant by the shop owners of Pageview. It was called a white elephant because the white supremacist nature of the apartheid regime. The elephant denoted the magnitude of the plaza complex in comparison to the little stores that people used in Pageview. Also, the Indian emphasis. In this regard, the elephant was conceived as a deliberate attempt by the apartheid government to promote the Indianness of Pageview people, to highlight the ideologies of apartheid. Also, the term white elephant showed its true nature. It was a hoax, pulling wool over the eyes of the rest of South Africa, a showpiece of apartheid, similar to the concentration camps in disguise, without truly capturing its effect on people's lives. This was one of the things that resounded on people's minds the loudest. Traders of Pageview, unite.
the Pageview Stanholders and Traders Association, PSTA, which came into existence at the time of the Group Areas Act promulgation, was still in existence. Up to this point in time, the PSTA sent numerous memorandums, petitions and letters of appeal to the departments to stave off their removals from Pageview. It fought a number of court cases on behalf of Pageview residents. Their acts and their manners of resolution were not militant in nature. Their efforts, however, could not have changed the plight of the Pageview people. Its effectiveness was under serious question. They used tactics to try and win over their officials to tackle various different issues. Their attitude to move towards the Oriental Plaza was simple. They did not want to move. Forced removals. There was no way in which the majority of Pageview traders were going to voluntarily move out of their Pageview shops into the plaza. Police, with their dogs, came and literally threw the traders out of their shops. Many had sentiments to say as follows. They came with their dogs, all kinds of police, and just threw everything onto the streets. The worst way was the way we were kicked out of our shops. They were inhuman and brutal. They couldn't care about what they were doing. I will never forget how they threw us out of our shops. The fight for compensation for goods damaged. Due to the brutal way in which traders were forcibly thrown out and removed, a lot of goods which were still left strewn on the streets and pavements of Pageview were damaged and even looted. The goods that survived were not worth reselling. This posed major financial losses on most of the traders, and they decided to sue the Community Development Department and Johannesburg City Council for compensation. They were offered 7 months in which to continue to stay in Pageview, and many had taken this offer. The logic of this acceptance, firstly, within 7 months of trade, they could overcome their financial losses. Secondly, they did not have to fear of being moved to the plaza for another 7 months. But after the 7 months, the same occurred, where brutal security forces had forced removals once again. Pageview traders then reluctantly moved into the plaza, brutalized, demoralized, angry, helpless, hopeless, and dispossessed. The march to the plaza. Although now in the Oriental Plaza, the effects of the forced eviction still lingered on, they could not forget the experience and did not want to come to terms with it. March 1977, Pageview residents staged a spontaneous march from Pageview to the Oriental Plaza, through the plaza and back to Pageview to register their protest against their evictions. Expropriation of property. After the eviction of traders from Pageview, or property was expropriated by the Department of Community Development and the Johannesburg City Council. People were still allowed to stay in their homes, but they were now compelled to pay rent to the council, since now their property belonged to the council. People were now, in actual terms, paying rent for property they always owned. Compensation. What compensation? All traders from Pageview that were evicted were entitled to be paid compensation. The compensation that they received tended to be combined with the residential sites that were expropriated. In most instances, the compensation received included the expropriation of trading and residential properties. It is impossible to calculate the full extent of the losses incurred by the people. People's lives were ruined. It may not have a proper emotional undertone, but the material basis of people's lives, they wanted better, they were robbed. The concept of complex shopping. Whilst the idea of a shopping complex or mall is taken for granted today, at that time, traders were forced to move to the plaza. The idea of a complex was unknown to most of them, because they had trading styles of their own. A complex proposes a very different type of trading. Their shops are not attached to their homes. Their shops are closed off from social lives, and they can't stock a bit of everything. They had to tend to specialize in their own kinds of merchandise. Fitas had a vibe of its own, not just because of the stores, but because of the experience of visiting each store. Many of the prime site shops within the plaza were given to those who cooperated with authorities in moving. It was not just a mere allocation, but rather a specification by types of merchandise that they were now expected to sell. The manner of trade was also imposed upon them, just as were the removals. It was evident that freedom had been taken from them, from retailer to businessman. The Oriental Plaza today is thriving. It's a proverbial gold mine. Despite all odds, the once pageant trader, who was just a simple retailer, has now capitalized on the forced new reality and grown into fully fledged entrepreneurial businessmen. The plaza has become a sought-after investment. Each shop has now trebled its original worth. It may give some the impression that the plaza was a good thing. However, on closer examination, success is more to do with undaunting efforts and sheer talent rather than being forced into situations. The success has two factors related to it: the subjective changes in the shops themselves and the overall industrial expansion, the coming of the bulldozers. After the forced evictions of the pastry traders, life in Pageview was a far cry from vibrant and the colorful place it once was. Eviction of the traders also meant less attraction that drew people to Pageview. The majority of residents in the north remained even after the traders were evicted, and they commuted daily to the plaza and back. Then the bulldozers came. The Department of Community Development and Johannesburg City Council sent bulldozers into Pageview to tear down the evacuated buildings. Piece by piece, FITAS was being destroyed under the eyes of the people who loved that place. The bulldozing was so that people would leave their homes and get out of Pageview. People had their buildings destroyed. Their actual homes were not bulldozed. They needed to get through the rubble to get to their homes, and life was made very difficult. Some people found chunks of their homes destroyed and bulldozed. On their return home, their lives were now sheer misery. Their shops were gone. The place around them was in ruins. The houses leaked when it rained. The draft came in through many cracks and holes in the walls, and the sound of bulldozers deafened the ears and pierced into the nightmares they now began to regularly have. Gradually, people started moving voluntarily to Lanasia. Some might argue that people were not forcibly moved out of their homes, but life was made so difficult for them in Pageview that they had nothing left of it. The scramble for houses. The scramble for houses now began in Lanasia. The Brutus effect that came to the surface with the plaza now began to raise untrustworthy head again. People crowded at the departmental offices to get the best plots in Lanasia, and some even more than one plot. Some could just not accept the unseemly sight of the cap-in-hand attitude some Pageview residents now took to win favors from the departmental officials. People resorted to such behavior. People lost hope in being able to withstand any fight and still stay in Pageview. Some people tried to capitalize on this situation to try and recover from whatever harms may have been caused in any way, moving to Lanasia. The Lanasia that Pageview people moved into was different from the Lanasia that other people moved into. The material conditions had changed a lot since then. Almost 26 years had already elapsed by that time. Roads were now tarred. A highway from Lanasia to Johannesburg was constructed. Shopping complexes emerged all over Lanasia, and now Lanasia had developed a character of its own. Whilst it's true that the conditions may have improved, these conditions are in contrast to what they were. The conditions of the past were appalling. Anything in comparison would seem a considerable improvement. It was still fraught with many problems. Shortage of housing, a massive community boycott of the bus service showed that transport facilities were still poor. Traveling still took a toll on people daily. Housing conditions were still bad. The destruction of Pageview meant the destruction of people's lifestyle. Everything was different now. The days of everybody knowing everybody were gone. Pageview was dead. People often drew contrast between Lanasia and other areas like Mayfair, due to the reality that kept on unfolding and playing out. The struggle continues. Heartbreak City. By 1980, Pageview was dead. Day after day, another building was being demolished. Another lifetime of experiences erased from the face of the earth. Officials kept visiting daily, and the destruction continued undebated. The site of Pageview being demolished had a deep effect on people who lived there. People who knew of the place would now and then pass it by. The ghostly echoes of the days gone would whistle by through the dilapidated buildings. The chilling winds sweep through the deserted streets, lamenting the fragmentation of destruction. loss, and pain of page view. Once a source of inspiration and attraction, now pain, sorrow, hatred fills the ideas linked to what had happened. Formation of a safe page view association. 32 units in page view now, being occupied by 67 Indian families. They were regarded as disqualified and illegal residents in page view because now it was declared a white area. The Safe Pageview Association, or SPA, was formed in 1981 and replaced the Pageview Residents Association. The SPA's emergence is interesting. It shows insight into the political, ideological position of the remaining Pageview people. This association comprised of all of those who were regarded as disqualified or illegal residents in Pageview. It had an executive structure with a chairperson, a secretary, a treasurer, and its executive members, comprised of 67 families that were left behind. The fight to save Pageview is still very alive in this time, and the resilience to resist evictions was still rife. Eviction notices revisited. In 1981, departmental officials handed eviction notices to the remaining 67 families. Fear and insecurity gripped them because they were unsure, and they decided to mobilize support to fight the ejectment orders and to remain in Pageview. Meetings were held almost every night, and the SPA decided to take the matter to court. In doing so, an interdict preventing the further issue of eviction notices and the immediate stopping of any acts to evict people from their homes was granted. All 67 families were applicants in this case, all signed affidavits to that effect. As a result, all 67 families were allowed to continue to stay in their Pageview home, pending the decision of court. This was the first challenge they were confronted with. The case, however, is still in progress and had been for the past 8 or so years. Interesting facts have been coming to the fore. Stands from which people were evicted were not gazetted, which means evictions were illegal. People are not allowed to be evicted by officials who do not have the power to do so. The court only has the power to judge on the illegality of evictions. It did not have the power to judge legality or illegality of the group area declaration. Only the city council or group areas board had this power. The declaration of Pageview as a white area was binding in court. The siege of Pageview. After the granting of the interdict preventing the further evictions, department officials came back and placed Pageview under siege. What happened? The department officials came into Pageview and dug up all the roads that surrounded the affected stands, which were the stands of the people to be evicted. People could not come in and out of their homes because the roads were dug up, thus under siege. Siege has military connotations. This reflects attitude by the department. The officials were later ordered by court to remove the trenches and move rubble 1 meter away from the curbs on both sides of every road. The mosques. In 1981, when the mosques were under threats of demolition, plans to construct a highway cutting through the property on which one mosque stood were being tabled in 1981. The SPA, with various Muslim bodies throughout the country, lodged complaints with the city council. Protection of religious rights. The same rule applied to churches, temples, and other sacred buildings, or the grounds on which they stood. This issue antagonized the Pageview residents against the council even further. 90% of the remaining Pageview residents were Muslims, and the others were still supportive of this idea to save the masjids. In 1984, a white resident complained about the adhan. A compromise was reached. The volume would be fixed at a level so as not to be regarded as a so-called public disturbance. But the adhan was continued to be called out, and there had not been a similar complaint since. The moving in of the whites. The south side was declared a white area before the north. Removals from the south did not take long. It was rather quiet. The south underwent development immediately thereafter, and the moving in of whites was being prepared for. In 1982, they began to lease the houses primarily in the south part of Pageview, although 17th, 16th and 15th streets do have some of these homes interspersed amongst the ruins of the other parts. Non-white residents claim that the whites were given the guarantee that non-whites would be removed from the area soon. This was contradictory. On one end of Pageview, they claimed to be clearing slums and demolishing it. On the other hand, they were re-established and the conditions of the slums were uplifted. The wall comes crushing down. July 1982. Two Pageview residents were buried as a wall came crushing down on them. while they were busy in the kitchen, a mother and her four-year-old daughter. They were almost crushed to death when the wall of an adjoining building came into their house. They suffered injuries through this incident and were treated for shock. This rises due to 25 years of the department being hell-bent on evicting non-whites from Pageview. They've done so with no mercy, without taking the most basic of precautionary procedures and measures into account. This time, Pageview residents were determined to do something about it. The damage was already done. A four-year-old girl was shocked unnecessarily, and those effects still take a toll on her. She was not the only one affected, however. The psychological effects of watching buildings being destroyed daily, the fear of the demolition of one's own home, were silently endured by the Pageview residents who remained there. The effects of the Group Areas Act were much deeper than meets the eye. Not only were people removed, but their lives were destroyed in many, many aspects. The Group Areas Amendment Bill. Between 1984 and 1988, the Group Areas Act was tabled before Parliament for revision. For Pageview residents, the Group Areas Amendment Bill would have affected them in the following ways. The idea of group areas was still being kept intact, meaning Pageview would remain a whites-only area. The Group Areas Act allowed for the provision of alternative accommodation for those who were displaced. The amended bill stated that the state was no longer obliged to provide alternative accommodation. The Group Areas Amendment Bill requires affected people to now prove that they are legal in the area. People now assumed to be guilty had to prove their own innocence. People could appeal the evictions in court. The evictions would not stop while the appeal was in progress. This bill was accompanied by many other repressive legislatures, like the Prevention of Illegal Squatting Amendment Bill, new security bills aimed at the facilitation of the state of emergency declared in 1985. The Group Areas Amendment Bill was not passed as a law. Parts of it, however, have become law, particularly the Free Settlement Areas Act, which, in the first time in South African history, legally allows people of all races to live and trade in the same area. These areas are nonetheless specified by the state. There are only a few of these open areas throughout South Africa during this time. The group areas still remain fully intact. We will not move. Despite the untold misery that people had to suffer, the inconvenience and damage to their lives, property, and various other facets of life, people remained adamant about not wanting to move out of Pageview. This struggle has become a principal stand for most of them. They will, they will not move out as a matter of principle.
A Radio Islam production. By Maulana Habib Bobat and Tufail Patel.
Yes, a fascinating account coming to an end today. That was the final installment of the Fitas Diaries, the eviction and the removals. Fascinating indeed, eh? The white elephant, the Oriental Plaza, the bulldozing of the homes. Imagine a four-year-old girl exposed to such torture and to such carnage, where you see buildings literally in front of your own eyes being bulldozed and reduced to rubble and brought down to the ground. A four-year-old daughter with her mother were almost injured, and they had to undergo counseling just for the trauma shock that they went through. So, lots of homes were bulldozed. First, they gave them an eviction order. Many people were defiant in the face of the order, and they refused to move. Eventually, the authorities took to lethal force and also to other forms of authority to get the people out. And the first stage was also to get the commercial enterprises or the businesses out of Fitas and out of Pageview and get them to move to Oriental Plaza. And lots of people were stubborn, hey? And they stood firm until they came through with dogs and other authorities, and they literally threw everything out of the shop and got them to move to the Oriental Plaza, which then became the commercial hub for Johannesburg. And they were then later compensated. And what a compensation. 7 months they were given to stay in Pageview. That was a compensation. Okay, you can stay for another 7 months. And after 7 months, the same process started again. Eventually, people had to then move to Lanesia, and people were now securing plots for themselves and getting places for themselves in Lanesia. And that's how the community in Lanesia came about. If you would really like to know, that's the brief history of it. 67 families still stayed in Fitas, and they went through the process of the court order, etc. 8 years later, and still nothing had happened. But these families stood the right to the end, and they remained in Fitas in Pageview. In 1981, the masajid came under question, and they were then thinking of removing the masajid because they were on the main road. And alhamdulillah, the community stood firm, and they did not allow the authorities to remove or to do anything with the masajid. And alhamdulillah, till today, these masajid are still in existence. I think it's the 15th street, if I'm not mistaken, 15th street and the 23rd street, as they popularly known as. The Adhan issue also, the whites started complaining, and then the volume was reduced to a considerable level, and it no longer became an issue. So that's basically the brief history of Fitas. It started off right from 1905, going right till 1988, and promoting some of the salient features. And then if you listen carefully towards the end, as Tufail mentioned it in the diary, that when people moved to Lanesia, then that bond that they shared in Fitas was no longer there. It slowly started deteriorating, and people started becoming isolated in their own homes and were no longer bonded and united as they were previously. So that's what we've lost with the migration with the involuntary migration from Pageview to other parts of the country. We find that that love that was there at one stage, the unity that was there, and the closeness that was there before, no longer exists. And it is a sad reality that today we don't know the names of our own neighbors. If somebody has to ask, what is your neighbor's name? You'll be like, So no longer everybody knew each other as they knew each other in Fitas, where they knew everybody by name and house and etc. That was no longer the case when they moved to Lanesia. And also in terms of plots, I think the best plots are in Extension 7 and Extension 9. Huge plots, and people are lucky. The only thing in Extension 9 is the security issue. Because you're right close to the informal settlement, and in fact some people are right next to the informal settlement. They are closely linked to the informal settlement. So the security is an issue there, but the plots are nice, lovely plots in Malaysia. In terms of square meters and in terms of the space that you require, Extension 9 has lovely plots. Only thing is that the security. Yeah. So, alhamdulillah, the Muslim community has progressed quite a bit, and today, alhamdulillah, they are developing the area quite a bit, and lots of structures coming about, and alhamdulillah, things are improving in the community. It brings us to the end of the Fitas Diaries. It will be available on request. You will have to phone in and place in your order, inshallah, and slowly they will process your order. Please be patient. As you know, we are working with a skeleton staff at the moment. Alternatively, if you are impatient and you want it immediately, you can log on to the website www.radioislam.co.za. And you can download it, inshallah, under my name. You'll go under the CDs segment and you'll find it all there, inshallah. We go for a quick breather. When we return, we'll have our hadith discussion. Yeah, it's a few minutes before the Adhan of Maghrib, Salah, and we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the efforts of every community out there that's trying to make a better world for ourselves, inshallah. Now I asked my engineer, Brother Abdul Haq, why are you playing Al-Wida? So he said, it's your last day today, so you're making Al-Wida. So that's a sad way to end of the program. Why are you making Al-Wida? Al-Wida. Now that is now making the people cry. Anyways, it's the last program for myself. It has been a pleasure being in your company. May the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of everybody at the radio station. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Brother Tufail Patel for taking our time, a very helpful boy. And alhamdulillah, he has been helping me all along with the Fitas Diaries in recording and also in going through the material. Yes, jazakumullah khairan to him. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfill all his permissible endeavors in this world and in the year after, inshallah. We now request all our listeners, inshallah, to make dua for the radio station. As you know, that we are going to be undergoing some upgrades in terms of the next year. The studios will be upgraded, and whatever funding you can provide, inshallah, will be much appreciated. In terms of the industry norms and the standards, we are lacking behind in terms of the equipment. So we'll have to upgrade. It's basically every 10 years, every 10 to 15 years, you do upgrade. So inshallah, if you remember, 2005, Radio Islam moved into the new building with the old equipment, with a little bit of new things here and there. But some of the things are really old here, so we'll be replacing that, and in the coming year, that will be starting. Very quickly, I'd like to share with you a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, إِنَّ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ الْكَبَائِرِ أَنْ يَلْعَنَ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يَلْعَنُ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ. It is a major sin that a person curses his parents. So they asked out of astonishment, O Prophet of Allah, who in his right mind will actually curse his parents? So قال يَسُبُّ أَبَى الرَّجُلُ فَيَسُبُّ أَبَاهُ وَيَسُبُّ أُمُّهُ فَيَسُبُّ أُمَّهُ. He said, when you swear somebody, then they swear your parents back, your mother. And then the guy also replies, your mother. So you are getting somebody to swear your parents for no reason by you swearing them. So that's how we are cursing our parents. And that is not right. We should be making dua for them, not making means for people to be cursing them. It brings us to the end of today's edition of Your World Today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us safely, bring us back safely. I'll be on leave right up till the 15th of January, so most probably only after that will be on air. Whatever you hear is not me, it's a recorded program. So I hope inshallah you enjoy your leave and your holiday also. And alhamdulillah, this year Radio Islam did its best in bringing you new programs throughout the holiday season, because there were concerns that were brought up previously that we don't want to hear repeat programs. And alhamdulillah, this year we got in lots of youth, lots of youngsters that came on to do the programs for presenters that were on leave. And alhamdulillah, it gives us an opportunity to experience new talent on the airwaves of Radio Islam International. So alhamdulillah, we safely say there were hardly any repeats on air this December broadcast. And inshallah, it will continue till the 15th of January. Everything will normalize and get back to its proper order from the 15th of January upwards. I'll be leaving for PE tomorrow. Inshallah, I'll be performing the Jummah Salah and the lecture at Masjid Mansur in Malabar. And until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.